The Holy Gospel, according to John, the 11th chapter. Thanks be to God. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said,
this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
let us go to Judea again.
Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them.
After saying this, he told them,
our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him.
Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right.
Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly,
Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.
Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
let us also go, that we may die with him.
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him.
Your brother will rise again.
I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world.
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
the teacher is here and is calling for you.
And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved.
Where have you laid him?
Lord, come and see.
Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it.
Take away the stone.
Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days.
Did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me.
When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth.
Unbind him and let him go.
Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, we just heard the story of Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. Interestingly enough, for a story in which Lazarus is a vital and central character, in a story in which gives us Lazarus's name, features conversations with his siblings, in which states that Lazarus was loved by Jesus, and he's referred to by others as a friend. The one character who never speaks at all is Lazarus. Even after his resurrection, he's as silent as the grave. For me, every time I read these verses, I always wonder what Lazarus would have said, what he felt, what life was like for him after this happened. Of course, we don't know the answer to that. The most we can do is speculate. But it's a topic I don't generally hear people speculating about too much. There seems to be a hazy assumption that he gets resurrected, everyone rejoices, and life goes back to the way it was before. Just maybe a little happier, because now he has been resurrected. But I have to admit, I've never quite understood how that could actually be possible. If someone you loved had died and was resurrected and returned to you, would your life with them be identical to the way it was before you lost them? Even if you tried really hard, could you stop yourself from treating them differently? And would they ever be quite the same as they were before experiencing death and resurrection? I mean, Lazarus has experienced an illness so terrible that it actually kills him. He has actually died. His body lay rotting in the tomb for 4 days. It's why they try to warn Jesus when he wants the tomb opened. The smell of putrefaction would have been overwhelming at that point. And what was it like for Lazarus, lying dead for 4 days, wrapped in a burial shroud, unmoving, the silent darkness of the tomb? even if he had no understanding of what had happened during those 4 days. He must have known that something was terribly wrong when he arose. After all, he was laying down in the dark, cool stillness where his family laid out their dead. He was covered by a burial shroud, hands and feet wrapped, special cloths over the head, bound tightly enough that he could not so easily remove them himself. But Jesus had to give orders for him to be unbound. And the smell that was spoken of, did that still linger in the air? As he arises to the stench of his own rotting flesh, and he went from that darkness into blinding sunlight, into crowds of people staring at him in astonishment, to a family that probably suddenly treated him like a delicate piece of pottery, like he might shatter at the slightest provocation. How do you go back to normal from that? Is it even possible? Think even for us how much has changed in the last few weeks. Schools have been canceled. Sports have been canceled. Many jobs have been canceled. In-person AA meetings have been canceled. Worship services with the full congregation have been canceled. Planned vacations have been canceled. Graduation ceremonies have been canceled. Going out to eat has been canceled. Gathering your friends in the park has been canceled. Getting a haircut or going shopping has been canceled. Shaking hands has been canceled. Going to the gym has been canceled. So much of what we took for granted in our daily lives has been canceled. And suddenly new ways are arising. For many, this has involved figuring out how to actually get work done at home when the kids are rioting in the living room. Or it's involved trying to figure out how to provide any care for their children who are home from school when they have to go to work. It's involved learning how to form a queue outside of a grocery store, a line where everyone is hopefully at least 6 feet apart. It's meant seeing masks and gloves outside in public becomes a fairly normal thing. It's meant unending quiet days at home to help to save a compromised immune system. It's meant businesses teetering at the edge of disaster. It's meant wondering if the slightest allergy symptom, the slightest sniffle, means it's one is suddenly a vector of disease. It's meant that some have not been able to see loved ones when they died. Suddenly, the world has shifted, and lives have gotten smaller and stiller. And who knows how long all of it will go on. But even when that day does come, when it stops, how long will it take for things to return to normal? Will the old normal even be possible? I've seen pastors saying that they can't wait for that first Sunday back with their congregation, when they can speak face to face, when they can shake hands, when they can hug, when they can share fellowship hour, eating snacks, drinking coffee, and hearing each other's stories. And I have to admit, it sounds wonderful. But when exactly does that day come? And if you have spent your last 3 months practicing social distancing, washing your hands, wiping everything down with disinfectant, and wearing gloves to the grocery store, are you suddenly going to feel safe shaking everyone's hand, chatting in close quarters, and not worrying about food sanitation just because the governor will no longer penalize you for meeting in a group of more than 50? Could things ever go back to exactly the way they were before? Will the economy and all the little businesses go back to the way they were before? When exactly does life return to normal? Some shifts are simply too big to be brushed past. They leave a mark. They make a change. They alter what will be. Could Lazarus ever be the same after having died? Is the experience of social distancing, of sheltering in place, going to shift us in ways we can't imagine yet? How do you make it through the darkness of the tomb without being marked? As far as I can tell, I'm not sure that you can. What happens changes you. I know that as Christians, we are not to be afraid of death, that it has lost its sting, but it still changes us. And it's still the only way to resurrection. Resurrection and eternal life are not found by the avoidance of death, but through death. And as Christians, we are called to death. No, not in the sense of something like a suicide pact, but in baptism. In baptism, we are to die to sin, as Christ died. We are called to live as a new and changed creation. We are called to be God's people. We are called to live a new life, to not be who we were before. We are called to be changed and marked. We are called to be the resurrection people. We are called to remember that four quiet walls, the dark stillness of the tomb, is not the end, but rather God calls us forth from that. God calls us by name, and God calls us to life. Amen.